Well, I have materials for everybody. And so if I could get a volunteer to pass these out, that would be awesome. Just to I'll give you half and you half. Take as many as you like. I knew that Pastor Joe would mention the Yankees because they are going to the World Series. And the Red Sox are not. Exactly. So I almost canceled because I didn't want to hear it. But just kidding. Well, thank you all for coming. I was here last week, and it's really, I feel really blessed to, whenever I'm invited to speak at a church, because most churches don't really want to talk about this issue, and they certainly don't want to talk about elections and politics and things like that. But as Pastor Joe said, this is an issue that transcends politics. This is not about endorsing a candidate over another candidate. It's about voting to preserve and protect life, which, as we all know, as Christians, that God's the author of life and that He creates all of us, knits us together in the womb, and that we're at our most vulnerable at that moment, and we need legal protection from the moment of conception. And so what I want to do to open us up is just start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get going on the slides. Thank you for doing the slides. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here. We know that we've come through two major storms in the last month. We thank you, Lord, that power has been restored mostly and that things are slowly getting back to our normal life. We thank you that the school here and the other buildings are going to be repaired and progress is being made there. We thank you for sparing us what could have been so much worse, and yet reminding us in these moments that you are God and we are not, and that our plans are often... There are plans. We're human beings, fallen human beings. You are God, and you are sovereign, and it's your world, Lord. And we, as Steve preached last week, that we should praise you in the midst of all these things. And so thank you for these reminders. Thank you for those that are here. I pray that you'll use my words and perspective here on this issue to help inform voters, and that they can in turn go and share with their friends and their neighbors and things like that these next 2 weeks. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the itinerary for today, which is the next slide, please. There you go. So I'm going to introduce kind of the topic, give you a brief history of the pro-life movement, talk about Florida, talk about Amendment 4, how some strategies for how we win, and then the call for volunteers. Now, we are in sort of the final stretch here because the election is in 2 weeks. So a lot of people, maybe some of you, have any of you voted already? Oh, okay. Voted by mail, probably. Okay. So there you go. So early voting in person starts tomorrow. So if you want to go knock that out, awesome. Glad you're here to do that. But it's a rolling election. It's not like the old days where you can, you know, where everyone on your list of people to talk to hasn't voted until that day. And you have that whole slew. I worked in campaigns way back in the 90s, and, you know, you just up to the day, you know, up that Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday. You know, you got your list and you go. It's not like that anymore. So there's some, we still want to get the word out, obviously, but the ball's already rolling. So just to introduce myself, if some of you don't know me, my name's Scott Mahirin. I'm the director of Florida Preborn Rescue. I attended Lakeside for several years before we moved to Manatee County. The Hurricane Milton went right over our house, like right over it. Like we saw the satellite. It was like, that's our street. And thankfully, we had very limited damage. We lost our fence, but frankly, it needed to be lost anyway. I didn't like the fence, so we're getting a new one this week. So it worked out. My son and I picked up shingles from other people's roofs and walked around, and it was kind of surreal. So anyway, we've lived there for a couple years. What Florida Preborn Rescue does, we're not a political organization, but I have been given leave by my board to work on Vote No from really June onward. But primarily what I do and what I train other Christians to do is to speak at local abortion facilities, to reach out to women in crisis pregnancies, to offer information to the women going inside these facilities, and to do so in a manner that is Christ-like, gentle, and and hopefully persuasive. So when a lot of people hear about sidewalk counseling, what I do, they imagine like the crazy people screaming on the side of the road and screaming at the women going inside. That's not us. We have tried incredibly hard to distance ourselves from groups that are like that. We do actually have a lawsuit, something you guys can be praying about. Here in Clearwater, my organization has sued the city of Clearwater for having a buffer zone in front of the abortion facility on Highland. So Highland has an abortion facility about 2 miles from here, two or three. I think it's that way. And what the city did is they put a buffer zone in of 5 feet so that we're not able to actually stand on the sidewalk, offer information. They did this because another group was being really, was harassing and yelling and blocking the traffic. They blamed everybody, including some of us. Our people have never done that. Some of you know Alan Tuthill. He's sort of our contact for Clearwater. And if you know Alan, he's the most calm, normal, reasonable person. So anyway, we do sidewalk counseling there. Please be in prayer for that. We're going to Atlanta in December for an appeals court hearing. So pray that we can get our 10 feet back, and because it's unconstitutional what they're doing. So Florida Preborn Rescue, we have teams in St. Pete and Clearwater. We're working on teams in Sarasota. And by God's grace, we've been able to rescue 40 babies from abortion in the last 6 years just by being out there and being faithful. So we give glory to God for that. I do want to say this too, whenever I speak in a room that has this many people, I always want to make sure that if there's someone in this room or that you know of that has participated in an abortion or encouraged someone to have an abortion and you've never told anyone that and it's been a secret that you've kept, I want you to know that the Lord wants you to come out of the shadows into the light. He wants you to confess your sins. He wants you to be made whole and made right, and He wants to use you and to minister to others who have struggled with this. So if you've never told anyone that secret, if you've never told anyone what happened, you can tell me, and I'd be happy to help you and direct you to resources. I said that a few years ago in Tampa, about 10 years ago in Tampa, the same little spiel I just told you about coming out of the darkness and coming into the light if you've had an abortion. And a lady came up to me afterwards. She said, I've been married 20 years. I've been a Christian for 25 years. I don't know anyone. I've never told anybody this before. I'm going to tell you I had an abortion when I was 16. That same lady now leads a abortion recovery ministry in Tampa. Hundreds of women have been involved in her ministry. And so God wants to use even your brokenness, even your worst moment, He wants to use that to minister to others. So please talk to me if you would like to talk to me. This is my family, my 3 daughters, my son we just adopted. I made him wear a Red Sox shirt for the picture, Joe, so that's for you. And go National League, whoever they have in the next thing. Anyway, so that's that. So my oldest three, my oldest just turned 22, then 19, 16, and Alex turned 12 yesterday. And off we go. All right, so brief history of the pro-life movement. A lot of this will be review for most of us. Conservative Bible churches, Christians kind of know the drill on this, but I do want to kind of set the table and set the stage. I also want to put my thing here so I don't go too long. Real quick, I have 5 t-shirts. They're free. I'm not going to give them out and play favorites, but if you want a t-shirt, come get a t-shirt afterwards, because that's all I have left. They just say vote no on 4. So just be nice and don't trample each other coming up to the front, please. We're in church. Try to behave. Okay, Bruns? Don't punch anyone coming to get a shirt. Just behave, okay? Okay. So, 1973. Some of us weren't born yet. Some of us were born yet. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I may look like I was born then. I wasn't, actually. I do have a lot of gray in my beard, though, but it missed me by 3 years. In 1973, Supreme Court ruled that women have a right to an abortion in the landmark case, Roe versus Wade. So before Roe versus Wade, going back to the 50s and 60s, you have things like the sexual revolution, you have things like civil rights movement, you have Elvis, you have rock and roll, you have all this, you have TV and all these different things that were brand new to the culture. Sexual revolution starting to come on board. Laws are about to become challenged. Birth control is a big thing. Birth control was only for married couples for a while there, way back in the day. All these sort of things are coming up. states started to challenge their own abortion laws, and eventually these things got kicked up to the Supreme Court in 1973. And in that case, which was a local case based in Dallas, Texas, the Supreme Court ruled that abortion is in the Constitution, they said it is, and that there's a right, under the right to privacy, that every woman in America has a right to an abortion up till whenever. No limit, nothing. So from 1973 all the way to 1992, abortion was a legal national right. Quote, I put it in quotes, because there is no right to abortion in the Constitution. In fact, the Constitution explicitly talks about preserving life. But from 1973 to 1992, that was the lay of the land. States would try to litigate this issue. They would try to pass laws, and as soon as they got kicked up to the higher courts, all the higher courts would say is, it's like middle management and the boss. Middle management says, well, the boss is going to say no. The boss, being the Supreme Court, says they're going to strike it down. So they say there's a right to it. But from 73 to 92, right, you have presidential elections, you have different court judges, you have different things happening. In 92, the Supreme Court heard a case called Planned Parenthood versus Casey. This was a case out of Pennsylvania, in which the state of Pennsylvania said that there should be at least a regulation of abortion when there is viability, meaning a third trimester, right? Somewhere around 20, 24 weeks. Their argument was, if that 24 weeks that child can survive, which we now know is more like 20 weeks with modern technology, and we know as Christians, before 20 weeks, that's still a child, that's still a human being. But what the Casey case said was, hey, that's a child at 24 weeks, at 20 weeks. The state should protect life. The state has a interest in protecting that life. And then going all the way to the Supreme Court, you have different judges, you have different people with different perspectives. And they said, in 92, they didn't overturn Roe versus Wade, but they modified it briefly by saying that states have a right, starting in 92, to regulate third trimester abortion, and to regulate third trimester pregnancies, and to, if a state wanted to, they could say, they could outlaw it in their state. So this was a big shift back to the states, back to the citizens, in favor of pro-life. It didn't overturn it, but it did certainly allow for it. And so that's why in the 90s, you had a lot of laws about late-term abortion or partial birth abortion, and a lot of laws in the states and in the Congress. And you had, you know, Clinton opposing those things. You had Bush signing bans on them. And then you had Obama, and then you had, you know, Trump and all that, right? All of those back and forth. But in 2022, as we know, the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade in the Dobbs versus Jackson decision. Again, you had three new Supreme Court judges. So the feel of the court had changed completely. We had a lot more technology accessible to us, a lot more law that they were looking at. And so in 2022, what happened was monumental. It now kicked it completely back to the states. So the states now have all the power in the United States to pass abortion laws. What did this do? It did not outlaw abortion nationally. What it did, it kicked it down to the states for them to make their own decision. So if Alabama, for example, wanted to ban abortion, which they did, they did. If California wants to have late-term abortion, or Virginia wants to have late-term, Minnesota, they can. All it did was kick the issue back to the states. And so now, that's why, part of why we're here today. So, next slide, please. And we will have time for questions at the end. So, the lay of the land, Florida. So, now that abortion is a state issue, right? No longer a national issue. It doesn't matter if the president is pro-life or not. It doesn't matter if the governor is, well, I guess it matters if the governor is pro-life or not. It doesn't matter if your senators are pro-life or not, U.S. senators. It's now a state issue. And so, what happened, the Florida legislature passed a 15-week abortion ban in 22 and a 6-week abortion ban in 23, signed by Governor DeSantis. These were appealed by Planned Parenthood. Obviously, whenever you do anything pro-life, Planned Parenthood's going to sue, and that's the way it works. So in this lawsuit, we went from So now we're in the state Supreme Court. So when I talk about Supreme Court, state Supreme Court, I'm talking about Tallahassee, not D.C., okay? And I was just there. Tallahassee, not D.C. So Planned Parenthood sued the state of Florida and said, no, women have a right to abortion. You can't do 15 weeks. You can't do 6 weeks. All this. And so what happened is it went to the Supreme Court, and the Florida Supreme Court, Tallahassee, said, actually, it's constitutional. The legislature passed it. If you don't like the six-week ban, then elect different legislators, you know, and they're the ones that make the law. We're not going to make the law for you. Thank you. Have a nice day. So, and the six-week abortion ban is in effect now. So from May 1st to now, the six-week abortion ban is in effect. We've seen a dramatic decrease at the abortion facilities in abortions. Some of those women are going out of state, but a lot of them aren't. The birth rate is actually increasing, and the abortion rate is decreasing. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful for that in Florida. We see it. Just to give you an idea, a normal week in what I do down on Central Avenue, a normal week used to be 20 to 25 moms and babies. We'd see them. Now we're seeing 7, 8. Sometimes they're not even open. It's having an effect. Okay, but we're not all the way there yet, but there's a strategy involved here that we're going to talk about. So what happens in politics? Well, you have a conservative, then you have a liberal. You have a conservative, and then you have a liberal, right? You have a conservative, then you have a liberal. I'll just tell you this silly story from my youth. I was involved in politics in college in the 90s during the Clinton years, and I was convinced, I'm from Idaho originally, so the great Northwest, very small rural state, right? Didn't know a lot of people that liked Clinton, full disclosure. Didn't know a lot of people that liked Bill Clinton. And I remember talking to my political science professor, and I'm just like, Clinton's going to lose. No one likes him. Clinton's going to lose again. And he's like, it's a big country, Scott. Idaho's a small state. It's a big country. I'm like, no, there's no way. There's no way. And so that's been replayed. You know, there's no way Obama can win again. Well, right? So the point is, we have conservatives, liberals, conservatives, liberals. Things go back and forth. But this time, with the help of George Soros and Hollywood and Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood has somewhere between $300 and $600 million that they can throw at different campaigns, and different things. So beginning in 2023, Floridians Defending Freedom, which is sounds good, but it's not. It's the radical pro-abortion group. They began collecting signatures for what now is Amendment 4. And if 60% of Floridians vote yes, it will pass. Raise your hand if you've seen anything on TV about Amendment 4. Keep your hands up if you've seen more yes than no. Yeah, right? And the yes ads are pretty powerful. Right, they're always a big story about someone, and a sad story. I was doing an interview in Pensacola, and they showed me this ad, and they're trying to make pro-lifers sound cold and callous and all that. So what they did is they got their million signatures. That then is sent to the Supreme Court, Tallahassee. They say, can we put this on the ballot? Supreme Court said yes. Here we are. So what is Amendment 4? So you might feel like, man, it's like civics class. I'm sitting in civics class again. That's not what I signed up for, but hopefully this will be helpful. So what is Amendment 4? Amendment 4 is very short. This is it. Okay? There's no real definitions to what they're talking about, so I'm going to break this down for you as best I can. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. This amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. What? Not all of us are lawyers. What is this? So let me break it down. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability. Pause. Here's what this means. If this law passes, if this amendment passes, the six-week ban is gone. The 15-week ban is gone. Parental consent, which is permission, is gone. A 24-hour waiting period is gone. Regulations about abortion clinics, cleanliness and facilities, gone. None of that. It goes all the pro-life work for a generation from Jeb Bush to Ron DeSantis is gone in one election. Okay? So you might be thinking, well, DeSantis will stop it. He can't stop it. Ron DeSantis is one vote in this. Donald Trump is one vote in this. Because initially Trump was like, I'm voting no, it's too extreme. And then the pro-life movement said, it's not too extreme, and we're going to stay home. And then the next day he said, I'm voting against Amendment 4. And we said, congratulations. Thank you, sir. So, no law shall prohibit. All the laws go away. All of them go away. Can't DeSantis stop it? No. He's one vote here. There are 12 million Floridians that are going to vote and are voting now. 12 to 13 that are voting now in the next 2 weeks. And Ron DeSantis' vote is one vote. Okay? So he can't stop this. Before viability. Now, viability is not defined in this. Viability is not defined, meaning that the last time viability was defined is 24 weeks. Okay? That means late-term abortion would take place in Florida with no viability definition. The key word here is or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. This is not defined. Health is not defined. Does it mean life-saving medical treatment? Does it say the woman is septic, the woman has this major issue physically? Or does it mean, does it include mental health, mental stress? I'm 8 months pregnant. I don't want to have this baby. I'm scared. I might do something to myself if I have this baby. Now, all those things are very sad, but those should never be used to justify a late-term abortion, right? So when it's not defined, does it include mental health? Does it include mental stress? What does it mean? And it doesn't say physician. It says healthcare provider. So we'll talk about in a minute what that even might look like, what Florida law considers a healthcare provider, but it doesn't even say physician. This amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. So notification and consent are two different words, right? Right now you have parental consent in Florida, and it's pretty well enforced. Some pro-life laws have a hard time being enforced. This is a pretty good one. Parental consent is simple. Your 15-year-old, 16-year-old girl gets pregnant. She cannot go get an abortion without having her parents' approval of it. Parent or guardian, approval, consent. She has to come home and get consent from her parents or guardian. Okay, permission. Makes sense, right? My son had a fever at school or had a temperature or something at school, and the school called me and asked if they could give him an Advil, right? I said, yes, give him an Advil. So that's parental consent about an Advil, right? So if we have parental consent over something like, can I give my teenage son or teenage daughter an Advil at school, then we should have parental consent about abortion as well, as long as it's still legal. Notification is something completely different. Notification is news. The abortion already happened. Mom and dad, oh, by the way, Planned Parenthood called. Sally came in yesterday for an abortion. You know, thanks anyway. And if there's no law that can prohibit that, we know that government funding will be a part of funding this as well. Because if they say, well, Medicare funds or these funds cannot be used for abortion or state funds cannot be used for abortion, if you go back to the thing, if no law can prohibit that, well, then why wouldn't government funds be used? So this whole thing is a nightmare. Next, please. So just to summarize, there's no heartbeat bill. If this passes, there's no 15-week ban. Only healthcare provider, not a doctor. This could literally mean anyone involved in the healthcare world. I don't know what that means. My daughter's an EMT. Would EMTs be allowed to do abortions? Would they do that? Not parental consent, but parental notification. And so the next thing, please. Abortion would then be enshrined in the Florida Constitution. It would be enshrined in the Florida Constitution, and only a constitutional amendment. All right, so abortion will be enshrined in the Florida Constitution. Well, what about my state rep? Could my state rep take care of that? No. What about the mayor? Nope. What about the county commissioner? Nope. Only another constitutional amendment could remove it. So this was the sort of evil genius of this strategy. Because they know that most Floridians do not, they show up, they vote for president, they vote for Senate, they vote for Congress, then they go home. They don't really read the amendments. I think it's 8 to 10% of people don't even vote on the amendments, right? They just don't read them. They go home. So only constitutional amendment would remove amendment 4. So the deceptive language is explained. As you guys can see, there's no viability definition. Babies now can survive at 20 weeks outside the womb. What is government interference? Does that mean, you know, a woman is starting to hemorrhage during her abortion? She says, you know, they need to do something to help that woman. Is a ambulance interfering? Would that be interference? There's no definition. Patient's health, we already talked about that. Could that mean mental health? Could that mean physical stress, fear, worry, whatever? How would that work? And what is prohibit, delay, or restrict? In other states, a lack of these clear definitions have opened the floodgates for late-term abortion and to all previously enforced health regulations. So not only are all the pro-life laws going to be gone, but all the health regulations as well. And abortion clinics are notorious anyway for having all kinds of health regulation issues. They're usually very dirty, very sad, very awful places. It's just not a good thing. And the next one, please. Regarding healthcare providers, Florida considers a bunch of different healthcare providers physicians to be healthcare practitioners. Only 10 practitioners are licensed medical doctors. So a medical healthcare professional could be a dental hygienist, a school psychologist, an orthotic fitter, paramedics, okay? Now, abortionists do consider their employees, the employees that work at the clinics, they wear, you know, nurse, they look like nurses, they have like the thing, but they're not, they're just working there. An office assistant at the facility could refer women to painful dismemberment abortions. Next slide, please. Eliminates parental consent, as we talked about. Notification is not consent. Consent is permission. Notification is news that already happened. Okay? If Amendment 4 passes, abortionists must send a notice of the teen's abortion. That could even be a phone call. Oh, I forgot to dial the right number. I did my part. I tried to call. So there's going to be a lot of rough things happening here. Next, please. There we go. Abortion will be enshrined. Next. I think this is a different one that I had. Go ahead. Next one, please. There we go. Hey, we made it. Current polling averages. This is a little bit old, but I will modify it a little bit. So the good news is that this is not a 50% election where 50% win and the amendment passes. Florida law has 60% to change the Florida Constitution, which is a very, very good thing. Because the polling on this is about a month old. The last several polls I've seen, the yeses are drifting into the mid-50s, and the noes are getting up into the 30s, but there's still about 10% that aren't sure about what to do with the amendment. So we're real close. And the ads, their ads are very persuasive for the non, you know, for the ambivalent person, and even for a lot of Christians. My wife is involved with a Bible study fellowship down in Sarasota, and she's been, you know, wearing her vote no shirt and talking to women, and there's a lot of Christian women that are just like, I don't know, why are you voting no? Lady came up, why are you voting no? And so Rebecca was able to help her, and she was armed with some brochures like I've been for the last few months. Here you go, read it. So it's going to be close. The amendment, the yeses are ticking downward, the noes are ticking upward. The state has done a good job. The state pro-life community has done a good job organizing. They've put aside some of their differences to really play defense on this. And the not sures, there's a couple ways to look at the not sures. If you have 13% of Floridians that are not sure how to vote on this amendment, some of them they're just not going to vote at all, right? Some of them just are going to leave it blank. I mean, I've done that on amendments. Sorry, I've done that sometimes. Some of them are just going to leave it blank. But some might decide right then. So again, we have to make sure that if we do our part, we can defeat this. And really, the next slide, please. There we go. There's different strategies here, and I have to sort of couch this. So there's a strategy. pro-lifers tend to struggle sometimes with strategy, because whenever I give a talk like this, someone will come up after and go, shouldn't we outlaw all abortion? And I say, yeah, we should. We should outlaw all of it tomorrow. It should be done, over, followed by a national day of repentance from every church in America. Yes, we should outlaw it all. Why didn't you say that? Because that's not what we're voting on in 2 weeks. We're not voting on a ban for abortion in 2 weeks. Now, we may get to that point where we have the votes to have a ban in Florida or nationally. That may happen one day, but that's not what's happening now. What's happening now is this amendment and how we have to stop it. So someone might come up and go, all babies should be protected by love and by law by from the moment of conception. And I say, absolutely, amen, let's work toward that goal. That's not what we're voting on. People are already voting on this, okay? It's kind of like in football, I'll use a football analogy. You know, sometimes it's fourth down and 10, and you have to punt. You have to punt. It's a strategy. You're probably not going to make it. You got to punt, play defense, and play defense, play defense, play defense. And the pro-life movement now is on defense in Florida. Once we win this, once this whole thing is over, we can strategize how to move the ball forward. But they have the ball. They have the money. They're marching down toward the end zone, and it's time for us to just block it and stop it. So, okay, how do we win? How do we win this topic? First, we win by talking to our neighbors and friends. If we start with the Christians, if we start with the people who are sympathetic and already pro-life, we get them to come out and vote. We make sure it's too late to register to vote. A lot of people aren't registered to vote. That's okay. But if someone's registered to vote, you make sure they know about Amendment 4 and that they vote no. You start with the Christians, you start with the people that you know in your Bible study, you start with people at the Christian school, you start with anybody that has a Jesus fish on their car and a Joy FM, and you just say, hey, I like your Joy FM thing, vote no one for it, right? You don't just start in your neighborhood knocking on random doors, although I can help you with some of that, but not the random door part, but I can give you the targeted list that I have. If you're talking to a Christian, it's different because they will probably affirm the sanctity of human life. So that's an easier argument. That's just an argument of, that's an easier discussion of, hey, I know you're pro-life, so make sure to vote no on 4. If you're talking to someone at your workplace about this, if you're talking to someone that may be pro-choice, chances are they're persuadable on the topic of late-term abortion. So, and here's how we know this. This is pretty recent polling. When asked about the legality of abortion at different stages of pregnancy, 2/3 of Americans say it should be legal in the first trimester, that's 12 weeks, while support drops to 37 in the second trimester and 22 for the third. Only 22% of Americans believe after 24 weeks the abortion should be legal, because everyone, almost everyone, would say what? Well, that's a living baby. That's a person. That's a person that needs to be protected. We all would say that, unless you're just crazy insane. And I've met a few of those, and I'm sure you have too. That's a living human being that needs to be protected. Now, obviously, as Christians, we would say, well, from the moment of conception, that's a different person. Right, but that's not what's before us today. What's before us today is how do we persuade people who might be pro-choice or might be moderate on it, and we talk to them about late-term abortion. Only 22% believe it should be legal in the third. Majorities oppose abortion being legal in the second and third trimesters. Amendment 4 would allow for late-term abortion in Florida. Americans and Floridians don't want late-term abortion. That's the argument we use. Okay? It will have late-term abortion in Florida. You're talking to your neighbor. Oh, abortion, who knows? I don't know. Well, hey, Amendment 4 would have late-term abortion. They're going to say something back to you at that point, because there's a lie going on in the election where people will say, here's how this goes. I'll do a little play act for you, okay? All right. Amendment 4 would allow for late-term abortion, you say to your neighbor. Your neighbor says, there are no late-term abortions. That's a myth. You say, actually, 1% of all abortions in America last year were after 24 weeks. That's about 10,000 babies. Well, that's still not very many. Pretty much how it goes, right? What do you think of my acting? I worked hard on that. Thank you. I think in Minnesota, there were 28 babies that were left to die on the table because a mother, while she was in labor, said, I don't want to have this baby. Okay? In Florida, the late-term abortion numbers are very small in Florida, especially last year is the last time. But if they really push that issue, you're talking to your neighbor, and your neighbor says, well, they're only 10, they're only 20, like, what's that's all? Then you say to them, shouldn't we be a state that will protect those viable babies and encourage adoption instead of abortion? Do you really think there is no one in our state that would adopt that child if no one wants that child? Then you make it about compassion. Then you make it about, you don't just say, well, there's 10 and there's still 10. No, obviously 10, 20, 10,000. The issue is, shouldn't we be a country, shouldn't we be a state that says if there's a woman who does not want to have that baby at 8 months, that there's someone out there that can adopt that child? And you and I, this is a very adoption-heavy church, right? We adopted our son. Some of you maybe have adopted. You at least know some. You know what? What do you know about adoption? You know that people want to adopt babies, right? Way more than they do older kids, just being super real, right? They want to adopt babies. There's a market for that. Even the ones that the mom doesn't want at 8 months, there's a market for that. Shouldn't we be a state that will help those moms and help those babies? And that's really the best argument you can come up with them. Well, it was only 10. Well, it was only 20. Okay, right. Do you think there's 20 people in Florida that want to adopt a baby? I could probably send a text to my friends and say, hey, I have 10 babies that are about to be aborted. Who wants it? Who wants them? A lot of people do. So this whole idea that it's just, well, it's, you know, never happens, or it's a myth, or it's a lie. It's not a lie. It's not a myth. And it will happen. Next slide, please. I think I know what's coming, because I have several of these. Myths versus facts. Amendment 4 is needed to protect some abortion access. Fact, Amendment 4 is extreme. Deceptive language for all abortion. We covered this. All 9 months, non-physicians for any reason. Parental consent is not required. We would become California. We would become a destination state in the Southeast for abortion. Voting no on Amendment 4 will outlaw reproductive health care. A reporter asked me in Pensacola last week, what about miscarriages? I said, miscarriages are not illegal and never will be. And if a woman has a miscarriage, they can go to any hospital or any medical facility in Florida and get treated. The idea that miscarriages will be illegal, that you can get in trouble for having a miscarriage, that's a lie. And it's a powerful lie, but it's a lie. You will always have miscarriage care. There will always be ectopic pregnancy care, life-saving care for mother in extreme circumstances. There aren't really very many circumstances, really any circumstances where an abortion is required. There are some that are chosen. Yeah, contraceptives, IVF, all that is still going to be legal. Now, again, some Christian in a crowd is going to go, I got questions about IVF. I got questions about birth control. I don't know about all that. I hear you. I understand. That's not what's before us this week and next week. What's before us next week is voting no on 4. Okay, next. Using life-affirming answers to frequently asked questions. Abortion hurts women. Women regret their abortions. Sometimes immediately they regret them. We see their faces as they enter and they enter inside the clinic. There's fear. They don't want to talk to us. Maybe they're being pressured. Maybe they want to argue back at us when we're out there. The minute they come out of that facility, they're broken and they are hurt. Abortion hurts women. It is a lie when Planned Parenthood hires actors to get on TV and say, if it wasn't for my abortion, I would be he, whatever. Abortion helped me win this Oscar. Abortion helped me get my career. Abortion helped me, all that stuff. Now, those women, that might be real stories, but a majority of women regret their abortion. Trust me. And this amendment will allow for painful late-term dismemberment abortions, which are opposed by the majority of Floridians and Americans. Parental rights are under attack. This amendment will contribute to coerced abortions. Again, if the parents can't find out, then we're talking about sex trafficking, we're talking about human trafficking, we're talking about rape, we're talking about all these different things. Abortion is always the wrong answer to crimes because it places the punishment on the wrong person. So, next please. So we need volunteers. Now again, it is pretty late in the game here, but if you are interested in helping us, the main way to help is just to make sure that your friends and your circle of Christian friends come out and vote no. That's the main reason. A lot of people are turned off by politics. I'm turned off by politics, okay? A lot of Christians do not like politics. I understand that. The only reason I'm involved in politics is because I care about the human life issue, which is true for many people. But we need you to volunteer. We need you to text your friends. We need you to, the people that are in Florida, you know, hey, I just read this amendment. I was in church. I just found out about this amendment. We really need to vote no. Have you voted yet? You know, you guys all know people. What are there, probably 40 people in this room? You guys know 10 people, probably 10 people in Florida, each of you at a minimum, that might not be sure about this. That's 40 times 10. That's 400. They're going to tell their people. They're going to tell their people. We can really make an impact here to defeat this. I'm encouraged by the fact that Lakeside has talked about this. There have been big churches around Pinellas County and in Tampa and Sarasota, large, almost, you know what I mean when I say mega church, what I'm talking about. There's big, big churches who aren't really prone to talking about these topics, and they're talking about them, and that's a good thing. And so whenever, I want to make sure everybody here thanks Pastor Joe and Pastor Steve, because there'll be always, whenever people talk about abortion in church, there's always going to be people that are upset about it. But if more people who aren't upset about it tell their pastors, then the word will keep getting out. So thank you for doing that. So I'm encouraged, but we have to do the work. Next, please. There we go. I'm being real subtle with the volunteers. Okay. The Turning Point app. Sweet. Now we're going to get super practical. If you want to help, this is not like the old days where you have to knock on doors and kind of guess who's behind the door. We have the technology now that will blow your mind. So if you're interested, grab your phone. I can walk you through this super fast. There's an app called the Turning Point Action app. You just go to your app store. I have a, I don't have an iPhone. What's the other one? Android. Thank you. It has a cord and I dial it. No. Remember when you had to use a camera to take a picture? And in fact, if you tried to use a phone to take a picture, they'd look at you strangely. Yeah. What are you doing? Okay. Turning Point app. Turning Point Action app. It is, I'm colorblind. Blue? Blue. Thank you. I really am colorblind, by the way. Turning Point Action app. You download that. You put your info in. You put your phone number, email, whatever. And then you have a screen that looks like this, and at the top left-hand corner, there are arrows pointing that direction, and it's pretty amazing. Then you have a bunch of things, and it says at the top of this, it says help knock doors, make calls. So I'm going to press help knock doors. It says voters near me. It's thinking, right? There it is. There are 20 voters, Republican voters, but within 0.13 miles of the church. And it has their addresses, and it has their phone numbers. You even have a map. These are all registered Republicans, people who have voted in the last, I think, two elections. So they're people who vote, they're people who are, yes?
Okay, I got to this part. Where did you go to find your voters?
Okay, so let me see super quick. Oh, no, you're good. So the top left, there should have these little arrows. Okay, and then there's Turning Point Action at the top, Chase 100 ballots. You have to sign up first. Don't worry, they won't bother you with money and call you and stuff. You'll be the ones doing the bothering for at least 2 weeks. So anyway, once you get to the Turning Point Action app, and you give them your number and you give them all that, it'll connect you to this page. And I'll just give you guys a minute to find it if you're interested. And I can show you after too, because we'll probably have time. But this is a way to actually get involved without having to leave your house. You can call. You can send texts. I can give you a script where you, most of the time you'll leave messages. I know that I'll ignore messages that I don't know the number, especially during politics season. But you never know. Someone might answer, someone might respond to your text and become someone that can tell others about it. So if you download the Turning Point app, it will connect you with people in your neighborhood. You can do this from here or from your house, and you can circle the block and find people that do that. And you can it says knock doors and make calls, et cetera, et cetera. I have a bunch of handout cards for Do No Harm. I'm going to leave those here. I would like you to use them, hand them out to whoever. Share information and recruit volunteers through various social media outlets. It's a great way to reach people. But really, I think at this late time, the best way is just to make sure your circle of friends, whether they're from church or school or work, your circle of friends know about this and are going to vote no. So some of this we're a little bit late on. I did have teams of people calling different representatives and different groups, different campaigns, things like that. We did a big sign wave. Some of you might have come to that. Ben and Danielle Kreloff helped organize it in Palm Harbor on a Saturday a couple weeks ago before the hurricane. Feels like way longer. But we've done sign waves. You know, we've done get out the vote stuff. So like I said, we're in the middle of the election now. Tomorrow is early voting. And so it really important that if people haven't voted yet, you know, and maybe that's how you start the conversation. Hey, have you voted yet? What do you think about this Amendment 4? I learned about it at church. It's pretty crazy, pretty extreme. You're voting no, right? All right. Any questions for me? And I can help you with the setup of the app stuff too. Did you get it? I can send you the script if I get your email and stuff, which basically is like, hi, I'm Scott with Vote No on Amendment 4. Just making sure that you vote no on Amendment 4 this year. It's a dangerous, extreme amendment, blah, blah, blah. Cut, paste, send. Cut, paste, send. And you're an active recruiter at that point. You can sit with Netflix and baseball on and send. Little pro-life activists. Look how easy it is, right? You don't have to knock on any doors and get yelled at. But I think we've got momentum on it, but we need people who usually aren't involved in politics to get involved a little bit and to just in their circle of friends and contacts. So I'll open it for questions if you have any. Yes, sir.
I just want to make a comment. I got one of your cards last week, and this side here is very clear. So what I just took a picture of it and put it on Facebook, sent it out to public.
Okay.
And when I was sending it, I said, hey, do you want to make this an event? I'm going, I never did this before. So it has the capability to go ahead and repeat. You choose dates where you want it to go ahead and send it out again and again and again. So I chose like every Monday until voting day.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, Facebook can be kind of sketchy with stuff, with sending, you know, but I think it's better than it was a few years ago on it. But yeah, that's great. Any other questions, comments? Well, like I said, we have 5 shirts, which you can wear every day of the week, Monday through Friday, and a brand new. There are different sizes too, so that might be fun. I don't really know what sizes they are. My wife was like, "We got to get rid of these shirts. The election's in 2 weeks." The hurricane just all of a sudden we landed, and now it's late October. It's just crazy. So, anything else? All right. Well, I have more. Here, it might be too late to order more, but if you do go to the Do No Harm website, Do No Harm Florida website, I think you can get maybe 300 or 400 for $50 if this is something you really want to go out and do. I will say this, if you feel like, all right, I think the Lord really wants me to hand a bunch of these out, talk to me first, because it's a better use of your time if you target the people. And the way to target the right people is through this app, because these are the people who are registered to vote. In other words, I wouldn't just go to the mall and boom, 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 because you don't know who's registered, you don't know, and you're burning through material. But if you get with me, and I can connect you with technology and campaigns and things who are like, okay, well, we're going to target this neighborhood has a lot of conservative pro-life voters, then you're actually getting more bang for your buck, if that makes sense, as opposed to if you just like went to the Bucks game and you're like, you know, so because you have no idea what people are doing there. So, all right, well, I'll be around after. And again, the shirts are yours. These are yours. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
I can have the
absolutely
final comments.
Sure thing.
Thank you very much, guys. God bless you.
Well.
This is critical. So thank you, Scott, for coming. Thank you for all the work you've done. And for all of us, just be sure we're voting, and we're voting the right way. More damage can be done by amendments than you could imagine. And yet, by the same token, sometimes we'll be surprised. Oddly enough, in California twice, they put on the ballot, while we lived there, an amendment to make gay marriage legal, and it was defeated twice in liberal California. But it's only when people know about it. And so for this one, we don't want it to slip through. I would also encourage you to fast and pray. This is it's not that it slipped up on me. We've been talking about it for a while. Scott reached out, and it just took a while to arrange this, but I'm not spending every day looking at ballot initiatives. That's not what we do. But when you read it, it really is, it's a disaster, but it's hidden very nicely. So please do everything you can. Pray. The Lord can work miracles. He's done a lot of things. There's a lot of distractions right now with people, but it's good to remind them of all of this. So thank you. And with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then you can ask Scott your questions. The app's actually very easy. I signed up in 2 seconds while he was talking. It works out really well. Steve, you talked about putting it on Facebook. While we were talking, Debbie was sending a picture of the brochure to her family to make sure all of her family knew what was going on with this. And so a lot of things we can do. Even though there's only 2 weeks left, there's still a lot we can do. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for putting it upon Scott's heart years ago to defend life. Lord, we all are so busy, and we understand our moral compass and our values, but so much happens in this fallen world, and it just slips up on us. And Amendment 4 is one of those, Lord. The TV commercials are deceptive, and they're a lie, and yet people are easily deceived. Lord, we live in a society where Satan has blinded the hearts of unbelievers, Lord. So as those whose eyes are open, I pray that all Christians would vote against this, Lord, that all Christians would stand up and oppose this. And I pray, Lord, that this will be defeated. Lord, there's still a lot of work to do to save lives. I thank you for the 40 babies that have been saved through the work of the Ministry of Florida Preborn Rescue, Lord, but there are countless others that don't get the opportunity to be saved. So I just pray that you would work in the hearts of our people. I pray that our country would repent, Lord. Millions and millions of innocents have been killed since 1973, and most people don't think anything of it, Lord. We ask your forgiveness, and we just ask that you would show us your mercy by helping this amendment be defeated. We ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.